Let us bow our head and say a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for the light of the Holy Spirit. Please speak to the depths of our heart. We may become more like your Son, Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, looking at these readings, it's really a call to look at our hearts. Do we really love God above all things? It's something that we need to strive for on a daily basis. For only those who love God with their whole heart are in the kingdom of heaven. And so the first reading, Deuteronomy 4, that said, in your observance of the commandments of the Lord, we show it. And then we have St. James he says, be doers of the word, not only hearers, which is deluding yourselves. And then our Lord, in Mark chapter 7, hits the nail right in the head, right the center of the bullseye. This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So it's a call. We have to look at our hearts and see what's there. Now, this is a funny little example. I thought it was funny when I read this. There was a priest. He died in 1984 in the Order of Sanctity. Father Walter Chizik. He lived from 1904 to 1984. And he was arrested in Russia just because he was a Catholic priest. But this is about the motivations of the heart. When he was in seminary, he said, I had to be tough. If anybody did something, I had to do it too. He says, I could get up at 4:30 in the morning. I would run 5 miles around the lake to the seminary grounds. I would be swimming in the lake in November, just before it was frozen, going against that cold water. He said, during Lent, I would eat, during 1 year of Lent, I went 40 days and all I had was just bread and water. And then he said, I had 1 year, I ate no meat any day of the year. If you were to see this from the surface, wow, this guy's disciplined. He gets up early in the morning, he's exercising his body. He's just had bread and water during Lent. He, no meat 1 year, it's pretty good. But God sees the heart. And you know what happened? This is what he said. He said, I was only doing this just to see if I could do it. You know, so God looks at the heart. Now, we're looking at these readings, observing the commandments, being Jews of the word, love God from the heart. Our Lord gives us an indication, or quite directly, in the gospel, of things, if our heart doesn't fully love him, what will be present there. He said, if our hearts are fully in love with him, he says, what will happen? There will be evil thoughts coming from the heart, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, and folly. So we have to see, are those different things evident in our life? Because they're coming from the heart. And another one is Psalm 15 here today. It says, if you walk blamelessly, what will happen? It says, you'll not slander with the tongue. That's the big one. Now, our Lord says in Matthew 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, Father Thomas DeBay gave some examples of our heart's not perfect, what's going to happen. Sins of detraction, speaking about another person's fault without good reason. They said calumny, which is speaking about person's faults that aren't true, just lies. Bickering, speaking nasty or biting remarks or nagging. Constant complaining, scolding, and urging about a fault, even if it's true. Egocentrism, constantly referring to what I did, what I said, what I did, where I went. They said, breaking confidences, for there are natural secrets that should not be spread. People have a right to their reputation. And there's two more here. Dominating a conversation to prove a point. And most of the time we're unaware of doing this. Or salacious talks or jokes, which has to do with speaking impurely. So if you look at this, what our Lord says here in the Gospel, and some examples from the holy priest who died just about a year ago, Father Thomas DeBay, we have to look at our heart and say, yeah, my heart is not totally in love with God. But Father, I'm trying. We're all trying. We're all trying. And it knows while the Gospel is being read, you know, the beautiful Immaculate Heart of Mary that's in the stained glass window. Both of our parishes, in fact, the stained glass window is right closest to the pulpit, has the Immaculate Heart. And that heart is immaculate, it's pure, there's not one stain or one deviation from the love of God that's in the heart. And that's what God is calling our hearts to be, immaculate. Now, what can we do to overcome this? In the daily examination of conscience. to look for what is the predominant fault in our life. A predominant fault is a fault of a particular sin that somehow it weaves its evil tentacles in all different aspects of our life, affecting our attitudes, our judgments, and sympathies. See, if someone's really super proud, it's going to show up in a lot of different areas. I don't care what the church teaches. I don't care what that person says. I don't care what mom and dad says. They make themselves the center. So we have to look for that predominant fault. And just a couple of recommendations. This is from Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. And this is important because our goal should be, and I've mentioned this so many times, the moment we leave this world, you and I will come face to face with Jesus Christ. And he's going to look into the depths of our heart. And he's going to see if there's anything there that's not of him. If it's not of him, we can't enter immediately into heaven. But if Jesus looks into our heart and it's like a mirror, he sees himself there, we'll be able to be admitted immediately into the glory of the beatific vision, which the different saints and mystics say is very few who immediately enter into that. But yet that should be our goal. So we have to look for the predominant fault. So how do we first do that? By asking God in prayer to illumine the dark places of the soul. Lord, please enlighten my mind. What places are in the shadows of things that I don't want to face? I'm just putting in the back burner. I know they're there, but I don't do anything about it. Then a daily examination of conscience. As one author says, what is generally the cause or the source of my sadness and joy? So you look at that. What generally causes my sadness or my joy? Because that's an indication that could lead those things, what's reflecting from the heart. Or what is the general motive of my actions? We should be able to stop and think, be reflective people. Father Walter Chiswick was, after seminary, he said, yeah, I was doing that solely just to see if I could do it. The love of God wasn't there. So to look at it, what is the motive of my actions? A lot of times, we can see the quality of one's heart. If nobody's around, and no one sees them, but yet in that situation, they do what's right. They do what's right, despite no one else being there. As one author says, too, to help overcome a predominant fault, whatever it may be, the tongue or nagging or whatever it may be, he said you could have a self-imposed penance. Now, when we go to confession, the priest will give a little penance, okay? I want you to pray 5 Hail Marys and honor the Lord's 5 wounds, okay? But when we mess up in our own lives, we could try to hold ourselves accountable, okay? Lord, if I mess up here, I'm going to get up a half hour early the next day. Oh, Lord, if I have too much to eat or drink, the next day I'm going to skip lunch. By imposing some kind of penance on oneself, we train ourselves. There's a discipline there. We could conform ourselves more to the life of Christ. Now, what will happen if we try to focus on the predominant fault to overcome it? It could become our greatest virtue. You know, Moses, it says in the scripture that he was the meekest of men, but he always wasn't like that. Before he was leading God's people, he killed a man. You know that. And so killing someone, that shows there was an anger, the rage there, that was just, that could overcome him, and he would do an evil thing like that, like kill another person. But yet, with God's grace then, he was transformed. Now, all of us here, God looks at us. And this is a hard concept. The first time I heard this, to understand it's difficult. But God sees you and me in our glory. Because God is outside the realm of time and space. He's here in the blessed sacrament. Yes, body, blood, soul, divinity. But God sees the past and the present, the future, all together as one. So God's got this beautiful dream. He sees us. And he knows where he wants us to be. But he needs us to work too. You know, our trying to cooperate with God's grace, God can do incredible things in our life. You know, many times, you've had this experience, read the life of an athlete or a Hollywood star or different things like that, and I can't help but think that there's no substance there. There's nothing really, nothing deep, nothing enduring. It just fades away. It's like, oh, what's there? They've been married 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Unbelievable. It's like they're searching. I talked to someone recently. They said they were going to this play. And they said, Father, this play is about this artist. And he's trying to search for himself, looking for self. And I was thinking, yeah, that's typical. That's typical. When we're entrenched in the world, we're looking at all these different avenues, and we're not facing Jesus Christ. So today, I'd ask you, in light of the gospel, the Lord said here, When you're united in Christ with communion, ask Him, Lord, what areas of my life am I holding back where I'm not being like You? Help me, dear Lord, make You the center of the universe. Because you know what? In reality, Christ is the center of the universe. The people like Blessed John Paul II, Blessed Mother Teresa, these holy, heroic, virtuous people, they knew that. And the life was centered there. And this is something that's come up quite a bit here, and you're going to be hearing this for the next, well, for many years. If you're not spending any time in Eucharistic adoration, what are you doing? God has blessed us tremendously here. We have, and we can say this truthfully, the best adoration chapel that I've ever seen in our diocese. I've seen quite a few chapels since 1991, visiting different states I was in as a seminarian, different apostles. God has blessed us tremendously. And every day we pray at the Mass, in the Mass, and many miracles take place there. The greatest miracle is a moral miracle, where our heart is totally transformed, where we can say with St. Paul, no longer I will live, but it is Jesus Christ who lives in me. So my dear friends, we're all in this together, but we have to strive on a daily basis. Look at our heart. Did I make Christ the center of my day this day? Did I have an opportunity where I could have gone to chapel, or did I sit and pop in front of the television with a computer for several hours? So let's bow our heads and say a prayer. Lord Jesus, You have great expectations for us. Help us not to be stubborn or proudful, but be humble, to recognize our sins, to go to confession, and to make You the center of our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.